An important branch of the Chaitanya tree, Sri Saranga Thakur, or known as Saranga Murari, lived in Mamakachi, or Drumadweep, Navadweep. Staying under a Bakul tree, Saranga Thakur worked hard every day to please his worshipable deity. Single-handedly, he would collect fruits, vegetables, and firewood. He would also bake rice, cook, bathe, dress, and feed his lord. After a full day of deity service, Saranga would cross the Ganges River to join Mahaprabhu's Harinam Sankirtan party in Mayapur. During one visit, Lord Gauranga noticed that Saranga's beloved Bakul tree was drying up and almost dead. Lord Chaitanya embraced the tree with his beautiful golden arms. Completely rejuvenated, the tree burst forth with green leaves and fresh, super fragrant flowers. To this day, devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu worship the special kalpa vriksha tree of Sridhar Mayapur. Some devotees collect small pieces of wood which occasionally fall off and make leg beads who worship it. Saranga Thakur vowed to never initiate disciples despite Lord Chaitanya's insistence. One day he relented and decided to initiate the first person he saw. While bathing in the Ganges, he brushed against a floating corpse. Suddenly it sprang to life. Stunned, the man slowly identified himself and bowed down to Saranga Thakur, who had just miraculously renewed his life. After giving him mantra diksha, Saranga Thakur became famous as Saranga Murari Thakur because the disciple's previous name was Murari. In Vrajalila, Saranga serves Radha Gopinath as Nandi Mukhi Sakhi by taking a 45-minute rickshaw ride from downtown Navadweep. You can still see the deities of Saranga Thakur in the Kalpa Vriksha Bakul tree. Shri Saranga Thakur ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Nasadu manasa mene.
Yat.
Yat.
Which.
Which.
Tantra.
Tantra.
There.
There.
In the school.
In the school.
Guruna.
Guruna.
By the teachers.
By the teachers.
Proktam.
Proktam.
Instructed. Sushruve.
Sushruve.
Heard.
Heard.
Anupapata.
Anupapata.
And recited.
Recited.
Cha.
Cha.
And.
Na.
Na. Not.
Not.
Sadhu.
Sadhu.
Good.
Good.
Manasa.
Manasa.
By the mind.
By the mind.
Mene.
Mene.
Considered.
Considered. Sva.
Of one's own.
Of one's own.
Para.
Para.
And of others.
And of others.
Asat grava.
Asat grava.
By the bad philosophy.
By the bad philosophy.
Ashrayam.
Ashrayam.
Which was supported. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai. Translation. Prahlāda certainly heard and recited the topics of politics and economics taught by the teachers. But he understood that political philosophy involves considering someone a friend and someone else an enemy, and thus he did not like it. Purport. Politics involves accepting one group of men as enemies and another group as friends. Everything in politics is based on this philosophy, and the entire world, especially at the present moment, is engrossed in it. The public is concerned with friendly countries and friendly groups, or enemy countries and enemy groups. But as stated in Bhagavad Gita, a learned person does not make distinctions between enemies and friends. Devotees especially do not create friends and enemies. A devotee sees that every living being is part and parcel of Krishna, Mamai Bhamsa Jiva Lord, Jiva Buddha. Therefore, a devotee treats friends and enemies equally by trying to educate them both in Krishna consciousness. Of course, atheistic men do not follow the instructions of pure devotees. Of course, atheistic men do not follow the instructions of pure devotees, but instead consider a devotee their enemy. A devotee, however, never creates a situation of friendship and enmity. Although Prahlad Maharaj was obliged to hear the instructions of Sandhya Vaidya, he did not like the philosophy of friends and enemies, which forms the basis of politics. He was not interested in this philosophy. Srila Prabhupada was approached by one disciple, and for some reason or the other, the disciple felt that he did not like the other devotees. Not liking is it. So when Srila Prabhupada heard him express himself, that he did not like the devotees. And he himself is a devotee, a disciple of Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada asked him the question, can you give me one reason? Just give me one reason. Or think of any reason that you do not like the devotees. So he pondered for a while and he came to the conclusion that there's no reason not to like the devotees. There's actually no reason. So he went to Srila Prabhupada and he said, I can think of no reason to not like the devotees or dislike the devotees. But still, that not liking spirit is still in me. So what should I do? So Srila Prabhupada said that if you cannot get rid of the not liking spirit, especially in relation to devotees, then you have to dovetail that not liking to the atheists and to the Mayavadis. So Srila Prabhupada gave him the principle of Nirmanda Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagya Uchete. In other words, even if you have a quality that is negative, and Nirbanda Krishna Sambandhi, there's no bondage in relationship to Krishna Sambandha, in relationship to Krishna. Yukta Vairagya Uchete. You can use that negative quality in relation to the mission of the Lord. So in this case, Srila Prabhupada told the disciple that your not liking should not be dovetailed towards the devotees. Your not liking should be dovetailed towards the non-devotees, especially the atheists and the Mayavadis, impersonalists. Like that. Now, here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that devotees, being, you could say in one sense, schooled on knowing the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Pandita Samadarshan. That one sees with equal vision. You know, one sees with equal vision. It does not make any distinctions between enemies and friends. And neither a devotee creates friends and enemies. Neither a devotee creates friends and enemies. But we see that even amongst devotees, one may see a person as friend, and one may see another devotee as enemy, even amongst devotees. So that means that both persons, in other words, if you distinguish between friends and enemies amongst devotees, then one cannot be really called a devotee. Because Prabhupada says devotees do not do this. Do not do this. However, from a practical level, there are three features. One is called not liking somebody else, including not liking another devotee. One devotee not liking another devotee. The next intensity, which is a little bit more or greater, is called jealousy. And the next one, which is a little bit more greater in intensity, which should not be there for devotees, is called envy. Enviousness is there. Now, when one is imbued with the consciousness of trying to be a devotee but not liking another devotee, one may be more aware of it. But when one is jealous of another devotee, one may be not aware of it. And enviousness is plainly demoniac. And we, as we know that, lower species of life like the snake and the scorpion, they are by nature envious. With the slightest provocation they will attack. But with a snake or a scorpion, you can bring it under control. But a person who is imbued with the consciousness of envy in the form of the human life, you can never bring under control. Because an envious person cannot see within his own self. An envious person sees that others are envious of him except himself. Very difficult. Like that. And therefore an envious person naturally creates friends and enemies. Naturally creates friends and enemies. So this principal lower or a negative quality of envy is one of the main things that the devotee has to root out from the heart. Once you root out from the heart. And there are various ways positively to root that out from the heart for a devotee. Not liking may be mild, but it can lead to jealousy if it's not checked. And jealousy can lead to envy if it's not checked, if you're not purified from it. So, how to root out envy from the heart? How to root that out? Envy from the heart. The principal way is, Prabhupada is saying, that a devotee does not discriminate and does not make any distinction. Because if he discriminates and makes any distinction, of course the devotees do discriminate in other ways, positively. Positively. But negatively the devotees do not discriminate in creating friends and enemies. So in the same way, to root out envy from the heart, the devotee does not discriminate in relation to other devotees. In other words, he sees every devotee as valuable. Even a new devotee, or even an experienced devotee, or an advanced devotee, he sees equally that every devotee is valuable. Srila Prabhupada also mentioned something to the effect that the very fact that two devotees disagree means we are not Mayavadis, we are deeply personal. So disagreement can be there on the basis of how to serve Krishna and the mission of Krishna consciousness, spreading Krishna consciousness better. You can disagree on that, that's positive. But we should not disagree to the extent that I don't like what you're saying and I will not honor and respect you. And therefore, your idea is not better than mine, and therefore you should keep away from me. Not like that. So disagreement is allowed. Disagreement churns how to serve collectively the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness and to serve the disciplic succession and Krishna Bhakti. That may be there, that's fine. And Srila Prabhupada said that there could be competition in serving, but without envy. In the material world there is competition, but with enviousness, in that sense. So the basic solution, or one of the principal solutions, there may be others in other ways, to eliminate envy from the core of the heart in relationship to being envious of other devotees, is to remove this distinction and discrimination that one has for devotees. And it is known by one's own nature that if you like a devotee, then it's easier to serve that devotee. Isn't it? If you like the devotee, it's easier to serve the devotee. So in order to remove the envy in the heart of liking one devotee and not liking another devotee, that means you're discriminating. You're making some distinction, and therefore gradually, subtly, enemies and friends concept will enter the consciousness, and that will lead to jealousy and lead to envy. So in order to remove that, one should simply not discriminate when one is serving the devotees. One should not make distinctions in serving devotees in general. So therefore, it is easier to serve a devotee with whom one has a positive and friendly relationship with. And one likes the other devotee based on a relationship and faith. But if you don't like a devotee, then you have to remove the not liking. Not that you remove the devotee. You getting the point? If you don't like a devotee, don't remove him out of your way. You remove the not liking, not the devotee. And how do you do that? You should come up to the potency and strength in your own consciousness by praying for mercy and by, you know, praying for shelter in various ways, to serve those devotees you do not like. So if you do some service to those devotees you do not like, and maybe unknowingly the other devotee does not know you do not like him also, that's fine. But if you serve the devotees you do not like, then the dislike for the devotee will disappear. Will leave you in that sense. So then you lose the sense of discrimination and making distinctions. That will be gone also. So therefore you'll come to the point of, in one sense, Vidya Vinaya Sampani. You know, that will seem equally, even amongst devotees, Sufa Pandita Samadasha. Alright, usually many questions come up and we go past 9 o'clock. So I'll leave more time for questions based on what I've said, or maybe if you have some questions in general. Where's the other brahmacharis from the ashram? They got in books? Okay. Originally, that not liking or jealousy or envy is there for Krishna. And it is just expanded to Krishna's parts and facets. You know, you don't like a devotee, but ultimately you are saying, I don't like Krishna. The devotee is part and parcel of Krishna. So it will lead to that ultimately. And if you don't work on it and do not get rid of it, then you will be tantamount. You'll be inclined to commit offenses to devotees. And when you're inclined to commit offenses to devotees, then your spiritual life is finished. Then you'll go back to materialistic activities. And you'll feel that the association of non-devotees is more pleasurable, more nice. Sometimes Prabhupada, I think, said, or maybe I recollect, if I recollect properly, one can never trace out the origin of envy in one's consciousness. Just as you cannot trace out why you left Krishna and came here. You cannot, it's time immemorial. It's immemorial means it cannot be remembered in memory. Immemorial cannot be remembered in your memory. Therefore, that envy is like that. It has come, but we don't know how it has come. But we know that we have to get rid of it. Get rid of it. Yes. You had your hand up, huh? Microphone, give the microphone, and then we'll come to others.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, what is the difference between judgment and discrimination? Is it both the same?
Like I said, there is positive discrimination. It's like it's like a devotee is a friend of every living entity. A devotee is a friend of everyone. He's not only a friend of the devotees, but a devotee is a friend also of the non-devotees and other living entities. But it doesn't mean to say that a devotee is a friend of every living entity, then he should not embrace a tiger or a lion. Oh, you say the lion, you're my friend, let me embrace you. So the devotee, although he is a friend of every living entity, he does discriminate of who to be intimate with. Who to be intimate with. So although a devotee is the friend of the soul and super soul in the tiger's heart or the lion's heart, but due to the nature of the lion, he will discriminate and keep a respectful distance. Although he does not hate the lion, he does not envy the lion, he does not dislike the lion, like that. So in the same way, we have lion-like people in human forms. Like one may like the person as a friend of everyone, but one keeps some respectful distance, still liking the person. So that's a sense of discrimination, which is positive. Like that, which is positive. Is that all right?
Now, Maharaj, what is the judgment? When we judge the devotees and we sometimes make
If you are in a position of service where you have to make a judgment to help the devotee advance further, then you are doing it out of duty, even if there is no relationship and faith. You are doing it out of duty. But sometimes when you do something out of duty, the other person may not like it because they think you don't like them. But duty has to be performed. But better than duty is attachment and faith with this relationship. So if you correct somebody and you have a relationship and with them and they have faith in you, then that will be a positive result. They will improve. But if there's no relationship and faith and you correct somebody, the result may be negative. They'll do worse. So sometimes we have to correct somebody out of duty, although there's no relationship and faith, because life has to go on. For example, there may be a head pujari. So the head pujari may correct somebody that he doesn't have relationship and faith in. But he says, no, this is the rule. Punctuality and cleanliness is the rule. If you can't do this, go away. So he may correct somebody. The person may not like it, but the rule has to be followed. So he's doing his duty in terms of being responsible in the service. Like that. So but better than that is to correct someone based on relationship and faith. You know, we should avoid correcting anyone except if they are a son. S-O-N. And you are the father. And except if they are a disciple and you are the guru of the person. So because a disciple has faith and relationship in the guru, and because a son has faith and relationship in the father, naturally, they can be corrected. You can judge them and be corrected. We should not even judge and correct a daughter. She's only son. Because girls by nature are more sensitive, so if they do something wrong, it is not their fault. It is the fault of the parents who did not take care of them properly. Did not train them properly. Of course, even in this Kali Yuga, if you give good training, they may be influenced by other things. They go to college, they go to work, they look at the internet, so those are the influences. So sometimes you have to caution them that this is not good although you are involved in it. Like that. So there has to be faith in relationship to correct somebody. In general, but out of duty someone may do the service as a temple president, as a GBC member. There's no relationship, but they have to make some decision and move ahead. And others may not necessarily agree with the decision, but someone has to make a decision and move ahead. Even if it's not the right decision, one should cooperate. Okay? Someone had the hand up here too. Who had the hand up?
Thank you, Maharaj. It's a very important topic. You said like we can discriminate, we should be friendly to everyone and should discriminate to be with whom to be intimate with. What happens if one gets intimate with one and if just friendly with others, the other person gets envious, and why he's not getting intimate with me? So
this is amongst devotees or amongst non-devotees?
Amongst devotees.
So he's asking question amongst devotees that if somebody is close to one devotee and the other devotee feels, why are you not close to me? So they may become jealous. So, in other words, the other devotee who is jealous of the intimacy that you have with another devotee, you should pick that up and you should see, what are you doing in relationship with the devotee that's bringing out this negative quality. In other words, we should not see that the person is jealous. We should see how are we acting to make him jealous. We should rectify ourselves and know that envy will go away in that person, or jealousy. Maybe they want to have a close relationship with you as you have with others. So then you should allow that to happen, because by your acting intimately with somebody else or closely is bringing out a jealousy in somebody else. Your action, not that they are jealous because they are jealous. Your action is making them jealous. So how do you rectify your own actions and relationship with them so that they don't be jealous? So that's important. Generally, we have a tendency to say, well, he's jealous, he should get rid of his own envy. No, we should know how we are acting to make that person feel that way. So we should change.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
What's your name?
My name is Hitarth. Hitarth. Hitarth.
H-I-T-A-R?
Yeah, H-I-T-T-A-R-T-H. Somebody who does good for everyone.
Hitarth. So you're doing good for everyone. So you don't need to ask questions.
Maharaj, my question is a bit general. It's it's like an extension to what your answer was to the first question. You talked about minute independence and you talked about jealousy. So this has been in my mind for some days. I think Krishna says in the Gita that one who reaches my supreme abode never returns. But in other places I've read that when you're jealous of Krishna, or when you misuse the minute independence that is given to you even in the spiritual world, you can fall. So, Maharaj, is this not a bit contradictory? Because you cannot return when you reach the Supreme Abode, and then if you are jealous and if you misuse your free will, you can come down, which is written in other places. So I was just thinking that how these things can be reconciled.
Se janma karma chame divyam evam yo viti tat vataha. Take for the Puna Janma Naitima, it is so Arjuna. So, in the process of sadhana bhakti or devotion, service, and practice, when one comes to understand and realizes that Krishna's appearance and activities, which includes the appearance and activities of his associates, that means the devotees of the Lord. When one realizes that all this is in the transcendental platform, then Krishna guarantees Arjuna that he will not take birth again in the material world and he will come back to him. So that guarantee is given, but we can fall again within the process of sadhana bhakti. Prior to not attaining prema bhakti. But once one attains to bhava, which is the preliminary stage, like the sun's rays before the sun comes up, then one enters into prema. And when one enters into prema bhakti, then there's no question of fall down again. See? But one can fall within the process of sadhana bhakti to bhava bhakti due to two things. Srila Prabhupada says in the Purport, one can fall due to adimata, offense, matter of offense, Vaishnava parad. Or one can fall by the will of the Lord to teach others a lesson. So when one falls by the will of the Lord, then one is under Leela Shakti, or pastime potency of the Lord. But if one falls due to aparadha or envy or committing offenses, then that is not under the lila shakti. One becomes a conditioned soul and takes so many births, so many species, until one comes to the human form of life in nicely trying to understand under the direction of spiritual masters, Bodhisattva and Shiksha. And then one works one way back to be free of envy of Krishna. And free of envy of Krishna begins becoming free of envy of devotees in sadhana bhakti. Now, I'll give another example, an analogy. You get a father and a son in one room, and the son is going through a nightmare, and the father is fully conscious. He doesn't go through a nightmare. He knows what is what. So if this father and son are in the same room and the son is going through a nightmare, is the father with the son?
The son is going through the nightmare. I mean,
but is the father with the son?
Is he in the room?
Yes.
Sharing the nightmare.
Is the father with the son? Yes or no?
No.
The answer is yes. The father is with the son, and he can see the son is going through a nightmare, bad dream. Like that. So similarly, when we go through the bad dream of material life, Krishna is always with us still. Right? So now the question is, the son is going through a nightmare, bad dream. Is the son with the father? The answer is yes and no. By our natural constitutional position as spirit soul in relation to Krishna and devotional service, Supreme Spirit Soul, we cannot leave Krishna. But when we do leave Krishna, we are in a dreamlike state of the material world. At the same time, we are still with Krishna because we are spirit soul. See? Same example. The son is in the same room with the father. He is with the father, but he is not consciously with the father because he is experiencing this bad dream or nightmare. So therefore, we are always with Krishna, but when we are in the material nature conditioned state, we don't know that we are always with Krishna. Getting the point? Why we are always with Krishna? Because Krishna is always with us. He never leaves us, although we want to leave Him. And by leaving Krishna, we don't know that we are still with Krishna. And we're thinking by leaving Krishna, this is reality. Same example. Although the son is going through a nightmare, but he's still with the father. And the father is not in the nightmare. He's in reality. My son is with me. I have to get him out of this nightmare. I have to get him out of this bad dream. So he shakes him up. And when he comes into reality, oh, thank God you are my father. That was really a bad dream. I'm not going to go back to that dream again. So he has the experience of material existence, like a bad dream. And when he goes back to the father in his normal consciousness, normal, he's normally the son of the father. We're all sons of Krishna. We're all children of Krishna. When he goes to his normal situation as the son, thank you, you're my father. Yes, this is very good. So because of that experience of the bad dream, a nightmare of material existence, taking from one body to another in a different species of life. Because of that experience, he's reminded, I'm not going to go back there. So therefore, once having that experience of material existence, even for millions of lifetimes in different species, when one goes back to Krishna, one will not come back. It's not that Krishna will make you to come back. It's not that you want to come back. You will not come back. And if you incline to experience the bad dream, just like in the material world, some people are attached to horror movies. That's horrible. That's terrible. Why would the producers make horror movies? Not horrible. Horror. You know, bad. You know, like evil. Why people make horror movies? Because there's a demand for it. People are conditioned. And after, you know, if somebody sees a horror movie, what dreams they'll have? So a devotee does not attach to such a thing, the horrible existence of material life. And because of that realization, no more I'm going back there. Krishna, you're my shelter. And therefore complete envy is not. So I give that analogy to explain it.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Guruji. So,
One second. We'll take your question. Just I give the microphone to the back. Mataji is asking a question. We'll come back to you.
Hare Krishna, Guruji.
What's your name?
Neeru.
Tell us.
What if we realize that Krishna is with us always, just like you said just now, and we stop coming to the temple and class and realize, oh.
So if Krishna is with you always, Krishna is also in the temple?
Yeah, but
so why don't you come and see him?
But what if we realize it and you know...
Krishna is with you always, and Krishna is also always in the temple, so you should come and visit him.
Yeah, I understand that, but what if we stop coming to the temple after...
Why you stop coming to the temple?
If we feel very great about that, Krishna...
Why you stop coming to the temple?
By thinking that Krishna is always there with me...
Yes, you stop coming to the temple because you think you are a better devotee than the other devotees who are in the temple. That's not good.
If we feel that...
No, that's the subtle... That's the subtle pride. It's a subtle thing, unknowingly to you. Oh, Krishna is always with me. I don't need to go to temple for Mahaprasad. I don't need to go to temple to see the other devotees. I don't need them. That is not our philosophy. Krishna resides in the hearts of the devotees who love him. So therefore, by coming to see the devotees, taking instructions from them, serving devotees. That's how you get nice, beautiful deity worship. Because who does that? The devotees. And that's how you get Mahaprasad. Because who does that? The devotees cook. Like that. So if you feel humbled, then you will come back to temple. But if you feel proud, I don't mean this, then pride is before a fall. It's so subtle. Very subtle. Okay. Hope I didn't chastise you. I didn't mean to do that. But it's important to come to take darshan. Not only taking darshan, that is another thing also. Many people who are pious Indians, they only come to see the Lord and then push the devotees to go and see the Lord. You know, pushing. But you should respect the devotees who are part and parcel of the devotion that you're seeing there. Without the devotees' service and nice decorations and so forth, you cannot see the Lord in such way because of the devotion that decorates the Lord.
Hare Krishna Guruji, my name is Raman. Raman.
Yeah, the thing is, I'm not a guru. I'm your servant.
Sure. So my question is...
Raman.
My question is, Guruji, that you know, in practical terms, you have to be selfish, you know, many times during your life. So is it possible that, you know, being selfish and at the same time you remain a devotee? Because you can't separate your selfishness from you during your whole life. Because it's a practical word, you have to be selfish most of the times in order to survive in the life. So at the same time, how you can be a devotee?
Give an example of that selfishness.
It's like that I'm working in office or somebody is doing a business. So he has to compromise on certain principles. Only then he can make his life, only then he can survive in his business or whatever.
Yes,
so he is really compromising on certain principles in his life, and at the same time, how can he be sure that he is still a devotee in Krishna's consciousness?
Yes. There are two things. One is one's prescribed duties within material life to keep body and soul together in order to earn a living for basic food, clothing and shelter. That is there. Okay. So if you have to earn a living to have basic food, clothing and shelter, that's not selfishness. That is normal. That is normal. And sometimes one may compromise and one may do something so that that earning will come to have basic food, clothing and shelter. Sometimes one has to be like so-called selfish. Not really selfish. So-called selfish. So if you have enough for your basic food, clothing and shelter, and if you have extra, then you can become selfless. You can share with others who do not have. But it is not wise that you yourself need it and then you give it to others and then you don't have need for yourself what you need. So that is not called selfishness. That is basic needs that has to be met in one's life. And then there's the other thing. That's one prescribed duties in life. And the other thing is to cultivate the consciousness of the spirit soul, which is to be a devotee of Krishna and Krishna consciousness. Both have to go hand in hand. You know, we do not advise that when one takes to Krishna consciousness or practices to be a devotee, to break up the family and to become irresponsible. We do not advise that. Krishna consciousness makes you a better mother, a better father, a better husband, a better wife, a better son, a better daughter. It makes you better in your relationships with the family. So Krishna consciousness enhances family life in a more cultured way. Good. Is that okay? We need to stop. What time do we have to stop? There's two hands up. He also has a hand. You have a Hindi question. He can understand English, but he cannot speak. Yeah? Okay. So
the question is, it doesn't happen much with the devotees. I dislike devotee, but in material world, the people make such an involvement or atmosphere and that we have to keep distance with them and we have to dislike them, and later on this becomes enmity with them.
We have to be respectful to the non-devotees but not dislike them, because we are their well-wishers to become devotees. Same in India. You know, there's no value in disliking non-devotees, because they are in Maya. You have to have compassion. You have to take them out of Maya. So that means we become the well-wisher. So give the microphone to Sachinanda Ishwara.
Thank you very much. Maharaj, as you just explained, the lecture starting, you explained the conversation between Srila Prabhupada and a devotee. The devotee was not able to leave, I mean, not liking others, but devotee led towards the non-devotees. So, like, what is the...
Specifically, atheists and Mayavadis.
Yes.
Not non-devotees in general.
What is the process? I mean, these lower natures needed to be dovetailed, or they need to be purified off? Or are they, will they get purified by
devotees? If you cannot get rid of your lower nature, then you can get rid of it through following the rules and regulations, which is called a licensed indulgence in sense gratification. Licensed indulgence in sense gratification. But you must not renew your license. Only once you become purified of your lower nature. So that means one has a lower nature. In general, one's lower nature is attraction or union between male and female. Technically called sex life. So if one has that, then one has to purify that by following rules and regulations and entering the Grihastha ashram. And through experience in the Grihastha ashram, one will have realization that one will become purified of that tendency and take the Vanaprastha ashram in a retired household life. But one should not renew one's license in Grihastha ashram. And one is not following the rules and regulations of the Grihastha ashram properly. So therefore one is renewing and trying to think that self-gratification of this person will be better than the last one. So that's down to one to get purified from one's lower nature. I know most people have to go through that lower nature to purify. Some devotees may use first-class intelligence by learning from the experience of others, which is by hearing. They can become purified, which is better. But if that is not sufficient, then one has to go through the experience and then become purified. If you are Hare Krishna Mataji, you are very enthusiastic. What's your name?
Naam Kavita.
Naam Kavita.
Hani.
Your name is Kavita, not Naam Kavita.
Hani.
Kavita. So ask.
Guruji, we want to go to Sadhana Bhakti, we want to go to Mandir. लेकिन जो हमारे हस्बैंड बोलते हैं कि नहीं, आप मंदिर मत जाओ, कृष्णा हर जगह पे हैं, आप घर में ही भक्ति करो, और हमें आने के लिए रोकते हैं। और हमारा बहुत मन करता है कि हम कृष्णा में आए और मंदिर में आए, मंदिर में आके भक्ति करें, साधना करें।
careful not to show the husband or the father of the family that we are better than them. She understood? We should be careful that we should not show the husband or the father that we are superior to them spiritually. We should not show that. Because we are showing like that and acting with the husband and the father of the family, you know, I am better than you. I go to mandir, you don't go. And therefore, you know, you are lower than me. Then surely he'll show his strength. He'll show his superiority. You don't go to mandir also. So, as the wife and the mother, we should always be subordinate to the father and husband of the family, even if they are not spiritually superior to you. But don't show them that you are superior spiritually to them. Then don't be a problem. So you should go, when you go home back today, you must tell your husband and father of the family, I'm really very sorry that, you know, I'm trying to be a devotee. Can you bless me to be a better devotee? So you keep him in a superior position. And then there'll be peace at home. But if the wife and mother is in a superior position to the father and husband, there'll always be fight. There won't be any peace at all. Ask her if she's satisfied with the answer. So she can also tell her husband and the father of the family that, why don't we go to temple together sometimes? Whenever you like to go, I'll go with you. Say like that. And sometimes you can physically do that. When he actually comes to the temple, the father or the husband of the family, then you can say, you should go to Krishna first and pray, I am behind you. So you stand behind him and pray, and he'll pray first. He likes that. He likes that superiority. So that's just that physicalness of being behind him. It receives protection from the husband, and then everything is peaceful. I'm not speaking from the perspective of a man. I'm speaking from the perspective of not having too much trouble at home. Because we act in such a way that others act like that. So we should change so that others can change positively in Krishna consciousness. So when that relationship is like that, where the man feels superior, then when you humbly ask him one day, can I go to the temple? He says, sure, yes, you can go. Because you're taking my permission. That's fine. So the relationship is becoming better. I'm speaking solely from the perspective of Krishna conscious culture. woman can control a man by submission. Not by controlling him, but by submission she controls him. And whatever desires are to be fulfilled, he will fulfill. So simply by submission and service. Ask her, is okay?
Okay.
Alright, we're a little bit late now. Is it okay? We can stop now? Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindhi Ki Jai. Nitai Go.